Good morning, everyone. Happy Sabbath. It's good to see every one of you here. All right, there we have it. You know, before we begin, I'd like to read a verse that I think is very appropriate in light of what has happened recently with the Rummenson family. I'd like to invite you to turn to the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. Verses 16 through 18. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, chapter 16 through 18. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church of Thessalonica. And he says in verse 16, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." And what does that last verse say there? Therefore what? Comfort one another with these words. You know, we live in a world that is full of pain, it's full of suffering, full of sickness, full of evil. But the beautiful thing is there's light at the end of the tunnel. There is comfort at the end of the pain. There is joy after the sorrow. There is peace after the unrest. We can comfort one another with these words that even though it hurts, and it's okay to hurt, God's heart is hurting as well. He empathizes with our pain. We can still take comfort that one day, the pain, the suffering, the evil, the hurt, the malice, the ugly, the bad will be gone. God will wipe away all tears from our eyes. And we'll enjoy the bliss of an eternity with God. Amen. Amen. Let's just bow our heads for another quick word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we want to pray now that as we look at the very important subject of prayer, that you would give us wisdom, discernment, give us insight into your word. We ask that we would leave here with a deeper understanding of the science behind prayer. We would leave here purpose to be praying Christians, to be committed to seeking you through the avenue of prayer. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'd like to tell you two stories that are very similar. They're both very recent and they're both very near and dear to my heart. Or I guess you could say very close to my heart because they happened to Liz, my wife, and myself. And Liz, of course, right now, we've got to keep her in prayer. Speaking about prayer, she's in Lebanon right now. I can't say much right now. But she's over in Lebanon helping her sister because of a family emergency. Her sister works among the some Syrian refugees. I'll leave it at that. And so she's there comforting her sister, and I'm praying for her that she would remain safe. But I'd like to begin by telling you a prayer about Liz, a story about Liz and I. The first story happened about 3 weeks ago, and it goes like this. I know Liz. I've known her for quite some time now. And Liz is a very healthy individual. She's like a bulletproof person in a lot of ways. She just things seem to hit her. Like, you know, people come by in the ER with all sorts of illnesses and sicknesses and diseases, and she just comes home and just, it doesn't affect her. I have rarely seen her even get a sniffle or anything else. And this particular day, about 3 weeks ago, there was something that happened. All of a sudden, she woke up one morning and she had a really bad headache. Now, this wasn't just any kind of headache. This was a migraine headache. Any of you have ever had a migraine headache here? Are they something to wish upon somebody else? No, they're terrible. And I haven't had the privilege and opportunity of having a migraine headache. But I hear that I don't want to. She doesn't really get those either. She actually hardly ever gets a headache. from the time I've known her, I think one time she said, my head hurts a little bit, and it lasted for about maybe a couple minutes, and I think it was something to do with dehydration, you know? And so this particular day, she was, I mean, her head was throbbing, it was hurting, and for those of you who have had migraine headaches, you know that there are things that make it worse. There are external factors that make headaches worse, right? What are those? One of them is light. Another is the sound of my voice, perhaps, if it's too loud, right? Maybe, you know, it's different factors, stress. There's many different things that affect a migraine headache. So she came down with this migraine headache, and she's never had a migraine headache. She actually told me, I've never had a headache like this in my life. I don't know what's going on. This is weird. So the day goes on, and she's, you know, I'm staying in touch with her, and she's having her hard time. That was her day off. And it was just really messing with her. It was really just messing up her day. It was very painful. She couldn't really do much. And she still tried to plow through the day and do things, which only made it worse. So, you know, you fast forward throughout the entire day, and we get to the very end of the day, and we're getting ready to go to bed. And the headache has just gotten all the worse. And you would think, you know, right before you're going to bed, you're laying down, you're relaxing, you know, at least it would kind of reduce the stress level, right? You know? But no, it got worse. And then she drank, I was like, well, have you drank enough water? And she's like, oh, I've drank enough water, but I can drink more. So she drank more water. And it made the headache even worse. And at this point, she's just kind of holding her head and just not sure what to do. And I'm just thinking, wow, I mean, they say ER nurses go to the ER kicking and screaming, but I might just take her to the ER kicking and screaming. Like, this is getting bad. And I didn't know what to do. I mean, I was like, Tylenol. I mean, I don't know what, nothing's helping. And so then we're about to go to bed, and the thought comes to me, pray. And I was like, that's a really good idea. Why didn't I think of that before? And I said, oh, but, I mean, she's had this headache all day, Tylenol. It's kind of more in the subconscious mind. You kind of write it off like, okay, yeah, we'll pray right before we go to bed. But, you know, right now, what can I do to help her? I mean, she needs some help. You know what I mean? Then the thought comes again, pray. This time I was like, all right, this must be the Lord speaking to me. All right, let's pray. I said, my love, why don't we pray? She said, sure, she's kind of holding her head, so we bow our heads in prayer. I said, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be alive. We just praise you for what you've done in our lives today and for how good you are. And Lord, you're our Heavenly Father. You know what's going on right now, and you know exactly the pain that Liz is going through. You know why it's being caused. You know exactly what's happening in her body that's creating this pressure, perhaps, or something that is affecting her. And so I said, Lord, I feel kind of crazy for asking this, but I pray that you would take the headache completely away. And I said, Lord, even if the headache does not go away, thank you so much, because we know you have a plan and that you're going to, you know, just show your love over Liz, and you're going to resolve this in the manner that you see fit. And we pray all this, not in our merits, but in the merits of Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. It's dark because we're getting ready to go to bed, right? She's laying there. I'm laying there. There's silence. It's that awkward moment, you know? Did the prayer work? Right? And we're like, you know, none of us wants to talk first. And so I'm like, so, this is me. So, how do you feel? She says, well, she's like dragging it out. Well, funny you should ask. At this point I'm thinking, come on, just tell me. She says, you know, it's about 80% gone. And I'm like, wait, what? 80% gone? Wow. Wait, that worked? Lord? At this time, you know, it's like, whoa. And then
I say, hey, why don't we just pray again and thank God for what he's done? And so I say this other prayer, Lord, thank you so much for what you did for, you know, taking the majority of this pain away. It's just amazing. It's a miracle. I can't believe this. And so, you know, I just say, Lord, and I just pray that you would take the rest away if that's, you know, what you see fit right now. But even if you don't, I mean, this is great. 80% is great. 20% of a headache is a lot better than what she's been going through right now. So we just pray all this and we commit it to you and whatever happens. I mean, it was a lot longer than that, more elaborate. But, you know, in short, I said, whatever happens, it's your plan, it's your will. We thank you so much for loving us and for caring so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Awkward moment. Silence, right? And this time, she says to me, my love. And I say, yeah? She says, it's gone. I'm like, wait, what? Wait, really? Those were literally my words. Wait, really? No. Wow. I just look up to the ceiling. It's dark. It's like, Lord. Second story. Literally a week later, Liz was in the ER, and sometimes they get patients that, you know, are a little bigger than Liz, taller, you know, more muscle, different things like that. And so she has to sometimes move these people. And she is not, you know, she's not a bodybuilder. So she's not Ryan over there in the back who can just pick up anybody with his right arm, right? And so she had to move this patient and, you know, just kind of doing things. She strained a muscle in her shoulder and it was really hurting her. And Liz is not the kind of person to complain. She's just, it's like you have to tell her, hey, what's wrong there, for her to tell you it hurts. That's the kind of person that she is. And so I looked and I noticed that she was really stiff. And I said, hey, my love, what's going on with your shoulder? That she's like, oh, I think I hurt it, like in the ER. It just hurts like crazy. And so I just kind of forgot about it. A couple of days passed by, and I noticed it was getting worse and worse and worse and worse. And so I said, wow, this is bad. Like, maybe we should go get this checked out or something. But I just kind of like, you know, I figured it's just, you know, muscles can be weird sometimes. You know, you just massage them here and there, and then pain goes away. Well, this just kept getting worse, and it was getting to the point where, like, not only could she not move her shoulder, but she couldn't really move her neck anymore, and the pain was just starting to go up her neck. And I'm like, what's happening to my wife? She's falling apart, you know? I'm like, Lord. Like, and so I'm just trying to figure this out. Finally, after several days, and she's tried massages, she's tried several things to try and get this weird muscle, just contraction to go away, and the soreness and the pain, the stiffness, and nothing's helping. And so I was like, hey, why don't we pray? I thought back to the other instance that happened, and I said, why don't we pray? So it's also, you know, we're getting ready to go to bed. We pray, we're laying down there. We decide to pray. Same thing. Lord, you know you care about Liz and you love her. And you just really, you've been involved in our lives. You've been involved in her life. We just want to pray that you would just take this away. It seems like we've done everything possible. We've massaged it. She's tried to get things stretched, checked it out with different people. We don't know what to do. And so we just pray that you would take this away. And if it doesn't go away, Lord, then we know you have another solution, another plan. We know that you have a plan. And so we pray all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. It was a lot longer than that. But we said amen. There's awkward silence. Anybody want to guess what happened? The pain did not go away. So what happened? Did God not hear my prayer? Did I not say the right words? Did I not push the right buttons? Maybe I didn't praise him enough. Perhaps I didn't have enough faith. Maybe I wasn't praying loud enough. You know, the subject of prayer is one that is very intriguing for many people, but it's also one that has confused people a lot. And in some senses, it's even turned people away from God. Because they say, God, how is it that I hear stories like the pastor just told? And this is why I decided to share those two stories. Because I hear stories on, you know, prayers like that, and they pray and people are healed or things happen. And then I pray and things don't always happen or they don't happen like that. And so they say, well, that person prayed and they heard God, and I prayed and God didn't hear me. Forget God. I'm leaving God. I'm leaving the church. I'm leaving the Bible. Forget this. This doesn't matter to me. Perhaps you may identify with similar feelings. Maybe not to that extreme, but perhaps you've had feelings like that before. Maybe you've wondered, why is it that some prayers seem to be answered and some prayers don't? Why is it that God seems to hear some prayers and doesn't hear others? What's going on? And so today we want to look at the science behind prayer, the science of prayer, because we want to talk about what happens when we pray. What is prayer? How do we pray? How can we know that we have answers to our prayers? What does it mean to pray with power? And lastly, what are some things that Satan is doing in our day and age to distract us from being people who are prayer warriors, people who pray with power? And so I'd like to begin by discussing what is prayer. And let's turn to the book of Matthew chapter 6 to talk about what is prayer. Because prayer is a very, very interesting subject. And I'd like to begin by proposing that prayer, and by suggesting to you that prayer is a very supernatural thing. Because prayer involves communicating with the God of the universe, prayer at a very fundamental level is a supernatural thing. It's something of spiritual origin. It's something from which we need to gain insights as to how to pray from the Scriptures. And this is why we're turning to Scriptures, because if we were going anywhere else than the Bible to obtain insights on how to pray, then we would not necessarily be getting the biblical insights that God wants us to get so that we can learn how to pray. Let's turn to the book of Matthew chapter 6 and let's read verses 7 and 8. Yes. Matthew chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. It says, "When you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him." So based on these two verses that we just read, we can see that prayer involves speaking, right? Back up a couple of verses and we'll see what kind of speaking it involves. Verse 5, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites." This is Christ speaking. "For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you that they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your room, and when you've shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." So prayer is a type of speaking to God. So prayer is when we engage our minds in communication towards God. We're starting from a foundation of prayer being something that is a spiritual origin. We're building on top of that. Prayer is speaking, and it's not just speaking to anything. It's not just speaking any words. It's not just speaking with vain repetition. Hello, God. Hello. It's not that. Prayer is speaking with God. It's speaking with somebody who understands us. It is a communication. It is the involvement of our frontal lobe. It is triggering thoughts. It is deciding to communicate with somebody else. Now, let's read verse 9. And Jesus is speaking here. "In this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." And so it's not just Jesus here begins to tell us, to instruct us on how to pray, give us some very key principles we're going to look at. But the first thing we want to look at is that when we pray, we're not just communicating with any person, but we're communicating with our Father. Now, God designed that our relationships with our parents be a resemblance of our relationship with who? With Him, right? And so, in other words, God designed it that when we experience the intimacy, the openness, the beauty of a relationship with a family member, whether it be a father or a mother or a brother or sister, we say, wow, this is what it's like to have a relationship with God. You know, there are many times now that I'm married, recently married, where I've just sensed, wow, this is an amazing woman. I love her, and I could sense that she loves me. And it's this beautiful thing that God has created. And you know what it leads me to think? God invented love. And if this is what love is in a fallen world between two broken human beings, I can't even imagine what it's like to have a relationship with the one who created love, God. So here's the thing. When we're praying, we're communicating with our Father. So the implication is that there's openness. The implication is that there's freedom. The implication is there's vulnerability. Prayer, as has been described, is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. Prayer is when we lose the facade and in the quietness of the closet or a room, we lift our eyes towards heaven and we say, Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. You know me. You know all about me. And you begin to communicate to him, and we begin to speak to him as someone who knows everything about us. And that is a really good place to start with prayer. That's the foundation of prayer. Because prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. It's not necessarily saying the right words. While they are very important, I pray I may not be misunderstood. There are right words to be said, for God is a holy God. But the foremost important thing is prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. God is a being we're communicating with. And so prayer is a communication to heaven. Some people have described it as a phone call to heaven, a telegram to heaven. Prayer is when we reach out to God and communicate with him like he is real. Does that make sense? That's prayer. Why pray? Well, that's the quote there in the book Steps to Christ. Prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend, not that it is necessary in order to make known to God what we are, but in order to enable us to receive him. Prayer does not bring God down to us. It brings us up to him. Okay, so question here. If God knows everything about us, why do we even need to pray? If God already knows what we've asked, why do we need to ask him for what we need? So, yeah, we need to know him. And let's back up a little bit. Hold on a second. For those of you who have parents, or I think every one of you have had parents before, so you can identify with this illustration. If your parents, when you were growing up, would have given to you everything they thought you needed without you even asking for it. So if they knew, oh, this person would be a really good doctor. Oh, we're going to put him in this school right now without them even asking. We're going to do this right now. They haven't even asked, but I know what's good for them. So I'm going to do this for them. I'm going to put them in, you know, I'm going to set them in track. They're going to be taking algebra, and they're going to be studying biology in seventh grade so they can be, you know, ahead of the game. And you get what I'm saying? If your parents would have made your decisions for you before you even asked them, where would that have put you? How would that have made you feel? Right? Where's my individual? Where's my free will? God can't just give us everything he knows we need First and foremost, because God is a God of love. And love behaves under the principle of free will. And so while God knows that you and I need many of things, he can't just barge into our lives unless we ask him to. Secondly, the reason we pray is that as we pray, prayer does not bring God down to us, it brings us up to him. As we pray, we suddenly realize where we are in the scope of this universe. As we pray, we suddenly realize who God is and who we are. And we begin to see how small and how tiny we are, how dependent, how helpless, how sinful, compared to how holy God is. That's why it's important to pray. Other reasons to pray. Why pray? The Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. The Bible tells us that when we seek God's face, we gain, what is it? Strength. So if we want strength in our lives, whether it be temptation for something, whether it be strength for any area of our life, stress, strength in dealing with people, any kind of strength, we can receive it through prayer. If you then, this is Christ speaking, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So Jesus tells us that we pray because we can ask God things, and God is willing and wanting to give us things. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says that be sober and vigilant because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. We pray, why? Because we live in a war zone, and the devil is out to take our lives, and we need help, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and kingdoms and high places. We can't take on an angel by ourselves, much less all the legions of hell, right? We need the power of God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. We pray for God's direction because we need it. Lord, what do you want me to do? I don't know your will. Should I go to this school? Should I go to that school? Should I buy this car or that? You know, what should I do? Lord, give me direction. What do I do with my life? Should I become a doctor? Should I become a dentist? Should I become an engineer, social worker? Should I become a teacher? Should I be a pastor? Should I go into accounting? Should I go into, you know, whatever field? Should I become a zoologist? Should I work, you know? And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Luke 22:44. This is speaking about Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. During his most difficult moments, Christ prayed. He needed to pray. If the God of the universe, who came down and became man, felt his need of prayer, how much more do we need prayer? Charles Stanley said, we can be tired, weary, emotionally distraught, but after spending time alone with God, we find that he injects into our bodies energy, power, and strength. The book Education says these workers can never attain the highest success until they learn the secret of strength. They must give themselves to think, to pray, to wait upon God for a renewal of physical, mental, and spiritual power. They need the uplifting influence of his spirit. Receiving this, they will be quickened by fresh life. The wearied frame and tired brain will be refreshed. The burdened heart will be lightened. Not a pause for a moment in his presence, but personal contact with Christ. To sit down in companionship with him, this is our need. You catch that? When we pray, our wearied frame and tired brain will be refreshed. The burdened heart will be lighted. How many of you guys have ever had it happen when you're just stressed, you're maybe tired emotionally, physically, and you pray and you're invigorated? I've had that happen before, and it's amazing. Prayer is a very supernatural thing. There's something about opening up our heart to God as if we were opening up to a friend that does something. We want to look at that. So how do we pray? Let's look here in the book of Matthew chapter 6 and look at this more closely. So Jesus here gives the disciples the instruction. He gives them basically the to-do list, the instruction manual the user manual for how to pray. He says first what not to do. Don't, you know, pray so that everybody sees you. Oh, Lord, like, you know, stand in the street corners like he's describing here. Oh, great God Almighty. You know, instead of the private secret prayer that Christ was suggesting here. Of course, public prayer is fine, but he was talking about a group of people that would just go out into the streets so that they could be seen by other people. Like, people could see him and be like, wow, that guy's really spiritual. You know what I mean? So the motive was wrong. And then he says, don't just pray like vain repetition. Pray like you're talking to somebody, right? And then he gives the disciples an example, the principles of how we pray. So he says, in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now, we touched on this already, but the very first thing we have to keep in mind when we're praying is that if we're relating to God, though we can't see him as our Father, what are we saying subconsciously? What are we implying? We're implying that he's real. And if we are even, and just the fact that we're speaking to him, do we normally speak to walls? No. Why don't we speak to walls? Because they don't hear us and they won't respond to us, right? So the fact that we even begin to address God implies that we believe he will hear us, right? So the very first thing we have to keep in mind is that God is real. And the second thing is God hears us. And that's what Christ is saying here. When you pray, pray our Father in heaven. And when we pray, begin with the introduction. Our Father. He's our Father. He loves us. He cares about us. He created us. He cares about us more than anybody else in this entire world. He's our Father. He's your Father. He's my Father. He's our Father. And the other thing is, he is in heaven. He's not here. He's in heaven. And though we can't see him, he's really there. And being in heaven, he has done everything possible to be able to communicate with us. So by saying our Father, we are declaring that he is indeed our Creator, our Maker. We are praising him. We're beginning our prayer by saying, Dear Lord, our Father. And then we say, who is in heaven? That principle describes that God is omnipotent. God is holy. God is far beyond our comprehension. We're not just addressing some human being. We're addressing somebody who lives in heaven. Far more important than someone who lives in the White House. I know if we were addressing somebody in the White House, I know I would probably be very careful with the words I chose, right? Hallowed be thy name, which leads us to that phrase. Hallowed be thy name, holy be your name. Christ here begins to instruct us on how to then continue on with the prayer once we have begun the prayer, then begin to praise God, begin to acknowledge who he is. He is holy. And by comparison, without him and without Christ in our lives, we are not. That simple statement puts us in our place. Can you see how slowly prayer begins to give us kind of a reality check and begins to just in the very first part of this of the prayer that Jesus gave us, which, by the way, should not be followed word for word. We take the principles from it, which is what Christ was trying to convey to the disciples. Here are the principles of prayer. Apply them when you pray. But just in this very section, we can see how God is already beginning to, in a sense, take us up to him by causing us to realize that there is a God in heaven who loves us and cares about us, who is also the King of the universe. And is holy, pure. All of a sudden, that begins to kind of put us in the right frame of mind. Gives us a reality check as to who we really are. Does that make sense? So, hallowed be thy name. Then Christ continued, your kingdom come, your will be done. Now, the interesting part is that the first part of the prayer begins, the prayer can be divided into two sections. The first half is kind of like Christ teaching the disciples how to acknowledge God for who he is. And Christ telling the disciples, hey, this is, you know, this is who God is. And it kind of, it's like God, it's like recognizing who God is. And the second part is like a, then you transition to petitioning prayer. So oftentimes I have been caught up with beginning my prayers, dear God, thank you for this day. Please do this. Please do that. Please, please, please. You get what I'm saying? Whereas Christ is instructing us to begin our prayers and open our hearts to him and let him know what we feel about him. Let him know what you think about him. Dear Lord, thank you so much for today. Thank you for how you've been involved in my life. Open up your heart to him as to a friend. Thank you so much for being so good. We praise you for what you've done in this instance and that instance. Do you see what I'm talking about? And slowly as you begin to praise God and begin to recognize where he has been active in your life, in our lives, we begin to realize that God has been very involved, and it also begins to show us how much God loves us. And that love awakens love in our hearts all the more for him. And slowly and steadily, as we read in the book Steps of Christ, prayer is taking us up to him. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, verse 10. So essentially here, Christ is inserting a very unique thing here. Now, when Christ spoke about the kingdom of heaven, what was he referring to? Christ spoke about the king of heaven. What was he referring to? Remember, oftentimes he'll begin parables by saying, the kingdom of heaven is like, the kingdom of heaven is like, and what's that principle that he's always trying to get to? Exactly. The principle of the kingdom of heaven is the principle of love. Some people have said that the Ten Commandments are love in action. That's really what it is. It's love, and the Ten Commandments is love in action. Here's what love looks like if you put it in practice. That's why Christ said the Ten Commandments can be summarized in love your God with all your heart. That's the first four commandments, all your soul, heart, and mind. And the last six, love your neighbor as yourself. It's love in action. The principle of the kingdom of heaven is love. And so when we pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, we're saying, Lord, further your kingdom everywhere. Further your influence everywhere in my life, my surrounding. Further your workings everywhere, on earth as it is in heaven. We're saying, Lord, thank you for what you've done. And we recognize that in heaven, you know, everyone praises your name. In heaven, everyone is constantly receiving tokens of your love and giving back to you. We pray that here, people on earth would behold your love and respond to your love and turn to you. You know, you're kind of pleading for not only the people around you, but for yourself. Lord, I want your kingdom to come, your will to be done in my life as well. We're praying for the will of God. Do you see what's happening here? Now we've mentioned the will of God. So we're saying your will be done, not my will be done. One of the prayer warriors of the Christian church said that 92% of prayer is getting to the point where you're perfectly fine with God's will and have stopped caring about your own, right? So oftentimes we want, this is what we want. But slowly Christ is saying, look, when you pray, don't pray for your will to be done. Pray for God, because God knows the end from the beginning. God was it. He's your Father. He loves you. That's why he said, start with our Father. So we've already established that God loves us. God cares about us. That God has already established a communication for all the way from heaven to earth. He's in heaven, but we can communicate. here on earth with him. And so then Christ then says, your will be done. So by the time we get to this point, we already believe that God has our best interest in his mind, right? And so essentially, when we're saying, Lord, this situation may be difficult. In my instance, Lord, Liz's shoulder is hurting like crazy. But I want your will to be done. You are infinite in knowledge, and I can see just a little bit. I want your will to be done, even though it may seem like it wasn't. Right? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Then he transitions, give us this day our daily bread. There's a lot here, but just for the sake of time, we'll say Christ here was then transitioning to instruct us on asking him for our needs. Daily bread is a basic need. And so Christ was saying, when you pray, also ask God for your needs. Ask him to take care of. There's no need too small for him. There's nothing too small, nothing too great that we cannot ask God about. We can ask him about anything. I can stand here for a long time and tell you stories of things that I've asked God about. Some have received very evident answers. Some, I believe, have been answered. I just didn't notice it. God asks us to pray. When we pray, ask for our needs. Pray for everything. Lord, you're driving down the road. Lord, help that person. Help that, you know, I'll drive by a car accident sometimes, you know, and it's a bottleneck. I can't get out. Paramedics are there. Lord, be with that person. Be with them. Lead them. Guide them. Right? We pray for whatever. Just lift it up to God. Forgive us as we forgive our debtors. We pray, when we pray, ask for forgiveness, for we are sinners and we need a Savior. And more importantly, notice what it says there. Forgive us as we forgive our debtors. Later on at the end of the prayer, Christ goes on to say that if we don't forgive people, God won't forgive us. Why is that? Well, think about it. If we don't forgive, when you remember that story of the parable of that servant who was forgiven much, that great debt? Then he goes and finds somebody who owed like a fraction, a very hundredth of a fraction of the debt that he owed to that king. And he says, give me your money that you owe me. Right? That was unfair, right? The guy had just been forgiven a huge sum of money, and he goes and treats somebody who owed him just a little bit of money. Just nothing. With such injustice. Such cruelty. It shows us that to the degree that we believe we've been forgiven, we forgive other people. Perhaps there could be unforgiveness in our hearts. It's at times when I find myself, we may find ourselves not wanting to let go of something, that we need to remember how much God let go for us, how much God has forgiven us. So forgive us, we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation. When we pray, we need to pray that God gives us strength to overcome temptation. It's not saying that God will lead us there. But the wording there basically indicates that Christ is telling the disciples, ask God that you will not fall, that you not be led in the path of temptation, but be delivered from evil. When we pray, we should pray for deliverance. If we're struggling with sin, we're struggling with, you know, whatever the anger, you know, temper, whatever it be, whatever it is that is of evil origin, Christ is saying, lift it up to me. I will hear. I will answer. But deliver us from evil, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And this is a really key line. This Christ closes off this model prayer as a very unique part, because basically what he's saying to his disciples is you begin by praising God for who he is and addressing him as your Father who loves you. And at the very end, you kind of close it, you sandwich it in the bottom with recognizing who he is. praising him, but this time we're praising him for very explicitly for something else. What is it? Yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever and ever. Why would I praise God for his power? Because he is powerful, right? And I would praise him for his power because he has the ability, because he is all-powerful, he's infinitely powerful, he has the ability to provide for every one of my needs. He has the ability to answer my prayer. He has the power to hear me. He has the power to answer me. He has the power to meet my needs. And this is where faith comes in, because prayer and faith need to be tied very close together. When we pray, we must believe that he hears us. There is never a time that God does not hear you. Whenever you pray, God will always hear you. And here's the other thing. Whenever you pray, God will always answer you. It may not always be very evident, very obvious, but God will always answer you because God has your best interest in mind, even though it may not, I'm going to say it, always seem like it. For yours the kingdom, the power, the glory, forever. Amen. And the word amen there, from the Greek there, is translated truly. It communicates belief. You close it off with the word amen because you believe that what you said is real, it's true, and God's going to answer. Amen. And that's why we say amen, because we believe it's going to happen. We believe our prayer has been heard. We believe our prayer will be answered. We believe it's going to happen. Now, so in summary, prayer is the opening of the heart to God as to a friend. We believe that he's listening to us in our prayers. We begin our prayers by addressing him as our Father. Let him know what he means to us. We need to praise God in our prayers. So begin our prayers by praising him. Then pray for God's kingdom to be furthered. Pray for souls. Pray for people that you know, don't know God yet. Pray for his will in every area of our lives and his will in the area of the church and whatever else may happen. Recognize our dependence upon him. Pray because we are dependent upon him. And sometimes we may not want to depend on him, so we need to pray that we would recognize that dependence, right? We need to pray and ask for a deeper understanding of Calvary. Pray for God's leading in our lives. Pray for deliverance from temptation or evil. Recognize that he has heard and will answer. That's the very end of the prayer. I'd like to invite you to turn to our scripture for today. It was 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. First John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And John says here, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. God hears us. God hears you. When you pray, God answers. Whenever we pray, we are to believe that he hears us. But we are also to believe that he knows what's best. Like the stories I shared. I don't know why when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask the Lord, why did you answer that prayer and not the other? Because I believe that I exercised a very similar amount of faith. I've seen God work in my life. I've seen God do miracles in my life. But when we pray, we're to believe that he hears us, that he always answers us, and not always. Will that be externally evident and obvious to us? But there will always be an answer because our Father in heaven loves us. He has our best interest in mind. He's got our back. He's got our back. And so I want to challenge you with that today. To take our prayer lives to the next level, to follow this model prayer, to go home and study it more closely. Spend more time with God in prayer. And as we pray, going into it, believing that He hears us, believing that He loves us, believing that He will answer us, that He has our best interest in mind, believing that our prayers do not stop at the ceiling, but they go beyond it to the throne of the living God of the universe. And I challenge you to pray prayers of faith, to lift everything up to God, from things you're concerned about to simple things. And the last thing is, perhaps there may be someone here that has been discouraged because they've prayed before and they haven't necessarily received the answers that they wanted. I want to comfort you in the fact that God has answered you. And that when we get to heaven, you will see how God led. And you will look back and say, you know what? I would not have chosen to be led any other way than the way God led me. And I praise God for that. Praise God for that. Because when we pray, God answers. Prayer is power. And if you believe He hears us, we know we have the petitions of God. I invite you to turn to our closing hymn for today. It's In the Garden, hymn 487. And we'll sing about prayer, about coming to the garden alone while the dew is still in the morning, about how God walks with us and He talks with us.